To Radharada Kantam Srila Prabhupada's mission, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission, which is Srila Prabhupada's mission. And especially I'm very thankful for all these wonderful devotees here in New Orleans who are keeping the temple going. I mean, I'm so impressed with the standard of deity worship. You know, sometimes people from other places or devotees in other places in America say, you know, what's going on in New Orleans? Well, I said, we have the most devoted devotees to the deities, devoted devotees to cooking, devoted devotees to carrying out Krishna's mission, Sankirtan mission here. I mean, it's amazing what's happening because we've been struggling for so many years here. Before we had stability in New Orleans, we went through several temple presidents. I mean, many. I've been connected with New Orleans in a managerial capacity, I think, since 1993. And that's a long time. That's before most of you were born, except for Tupper Boons. But 1993, and, of course, I've been, longer than that. Longer than that. I've been coming to New Orleans since 1974. And so I've been connected officially as a GBC capacity since about 93 or 92. I don't remember exactly when. So I'm seeing so much stability here in the temple due to the congregation. I was just told today there was something like 40 or 50 pujaris, right? How many pujaris? 26 pujaris. That's amazing. Of course, in 6 months from now, there's going to be 27. Because Shraddhadeva Manu is going to take second initiation.
Arriba!
He told me, I'm making public.
He'll be on the altar.
He's hiding out now. But you have the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Where do you go now? He didn't want to hear what I was saying. Anyways, I mean, it's amazing the standard, the garlands, the dresses of the deities, everything is just like very nice. And Tulsi Devi here, every morning I go and I pick Tulsi Devi for my deities. I have Govardhan Shilas. I think these are the most luxuriant Tulsi Devis I've practically seen anywhere in the movement. I mean, there's so many mandaris, it's just like, wow. I come here just, before I leave here, I just collect bags and bags of mandaris to take back with me. And Prabhupada said, wherever Tulsi Devi is growing luxuriantly like that, that's because of devotion. The devotees have their hearts in the way, the devotees sing the bhajans here, it's enough to just make you cry. You know, the best bhajan singers, pujaris, everything. I mean, this temple, and the devotees especially, they're a real gem, and I want to thank all the devotees for keeping this temple going, preaching, distributing books. We have great book distributors here, like, who just came up and talked. So I'm just very thankful. So today is the day, just talking about sannyas, because I'm not encouraging any of you to take sannyas. I already tried with Bhushaya, it didn't work. Anyway, so I've given up. So as far as sannyas is concerned, I took sannyas in 1978. And the reason I took sannyas is that in 1977, something very traumatic happened to our society. And that, of course, was the departure of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. So none of us thought that Srila Prabhupada was going to leave this world. I mean, I can ask some of the Prabhupada disciples here, isn't it? I mean, no one thought. People thought, oh, Prabhupada's getting sick, we'll have 24-hour kirtans, he'll get better. And then that pulls us all together. It's all a pastime. Of course, everything is a pastime. But we never thought Prabhupada would leave. So finally, in November of 1977, we get this message. I was in Los Angeles, and I got this message. Actually, going back a little bit, Prabhupada wanted all of his disciples with him before he left the planet. That message was not conveyed to the devotees, because the leaders, many leaders at that time, were concerned with keeping the temples going. But Prabhupada said, let the temples at least be on hold And he wanted everybody with him to see his final pastimes. Of course, we were not told that, and that was also quite traumatic for many of us. So Srila Prabhupada left this world in 1977. I was in Los Angeles. The news was conveyed to us right at the end of the morning program. I locked the temple room door so nobody could get out because we wanted to tell the news to everybody. And basically, when everyone heard the news, they collapsed. And for several days, basically all the devotees, including myself, were crying continually. And that, of course, is important. Srila Prabhupada comments in the fourth canto part for Srimad Bhagavatam, when the spiritual master leaves the planet, one should cry. And Prabhupada uses a metaphorical story that's there in the Bhagavatam of a queen, Malayadwaja, who's crying for the king. And also, there's another statement Prabhupada makes that's quite a heavy statement. Because in India, traditionally, they had this thing called the Sati Rite. Anyone's heard of the Sati Rite?
Yes.
In India? That means that if the husband dies, the wife can't bear to live, so she jumps into the fire. Yes. Now, nowadays, that's prohibited. Because it became utilized or misutilized by certain people who wanted to get rid of their daughter-in-law, or something like that. They would throw the person in the fire. So obviously that's not permitted. But it was done out of devotion that even nowadays, I mean, let's say even nowadays, not in India, but also in India, another place in the world where two people love each other very much, we find that if one person passes away, the other person passes away due to natural causes within a short time thereafter. Because there's so much devotion and love. So Prabhupada compared that devotion and love to the love or devotion that one has for the spiritual master. And of course, many of us have that love and devotion for His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. That's actually been my guiding principle throughout my whole life. That I'm always, or trying to always think, of what would please Prabhupada and making my decisions based upon what would please Prabhupada, not what would please me. I mean, for example, what would please me at my age, because I'm actually 68, would be to go to Govardhana and just chant Hare Krishna and say goodbye, cruel world. That would be ecstasy. But then in my back of my mind, or in the front of my mind, or my heart, I hear Prabhupada saying, you rascal, why are you thinking like that? You should be a soldier on the battlefield. I said, okay, yes, sir. You know, old, what is that saying? Old soldiers never die, they just fade away. So anyway, so then I just continue because that's Prabhupada's desire. So when Prabhupada left the planet, I thought I have a choice. I have a choice, like the Sati Rite, either of leaving this world, I wasn't going to commit suicide, obviously, but of just like giving up everything in this world and just basically going into Vrindavan and just chanting until I left this world. Or serving Prabhupada's mission. And Prabhupada says in the fourth canto, part four, that one should be so dedicated to the spiritual master that they should undertake that choice when the spiritual master leaves the planet. So I decided I wanted to dedicate myself 100% to Prabhupada's mission. So to me, that's what sannyas means. It doesn't mean simply getting the Mahaprasadam. You know, in the old days of the movement, when Prabhupada was on the planet, a sannyas meant you got all the offering plates just like right after they were offered to the deities. You probably remember this. And you got all the mahas prasadam, all the sweets, all the appreciation, all the good facilities. But sannyas literally is composed of two words. Sannyas. Like we have the word sangha, which is very similar to that. Sang. Sang means together or to bring together. Or to accept. And yas means to give up. So, the word sannyas literally means, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's surrendering practices or principles, to accept everything favorable for devotional service and reject everything unfavorable. Or, as we say in Sanskrit, yukta vairagya. The renunciation of accepting things in Krishna's service. So, I took sannyas With that in mind, I went to one of my godbrothers. His name was Sridhananda Maharaj. Some of you may know him. He's the Krishna West sannyasi now. So I went to Sridhananda Maharaj and said, yeah, I really want to take sannyas. So he went to the GBC, put my name before the GBC. And then in 77, right after Prabhupada left, and what happened, no, at the beginning of 78, I'm sorry, beginning of 78, the first GBC meeting after Prabhupada left, then we had a circumstance in South America where my help as a sannyasi was required immediately, so I went down to Lima, Peru, and took sannyas on this date, on Shivas Thakur's disappearance in Lima, Peru, and began. Of course, I was already serving Prabhupada's mission, but I took the vow to dedicate my life, that's what sannyas means, of serving Prabhupada's mission. And, of course, I was a very young man. I think I was 25 or something like that, 25, 26 years old. And at 25 or 26, you don't really know about life. I hate to tell you young people. You don't grow up until you're about 35. Because at 25 or 26, wow. So, basically, I took this vow, and I did the right thing. You know, later on I realized I did the right thing when I was 35. But I stuck to my vow because it was my connection with Srila Prabhupada. Not because it was simply a vow. We make so many promises. Like people who try to go on diets, and they say, oh, I'll never eat sugar again, I'll never smoke a cigarette again, I'll never do this again, I'll never do that, and they all do it again. So to keep a vow, or to keep a promise, one has to have a personal connection with someone that you really love, that you're keeping a promise for. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has to be based from the heart. If it's simply in the mind, out of pride, you know, we see many people take vows or promises out of pride. They can't keep them, because pride, the mode of passion means, you know, it's happiness today, but in the end it's miserable. But when you're doing something in the mode of goodness, doing something from the heart out of devotion, then that is, as Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, dridhavrata. It's a firm vow or firm determination. So what has kept me in my sannyas vows dedicated to Prabhupada's mission is my connection with Prabhupada. So I just want to end with one thing. So what's going to keep this movement together, I'm not talking about me anymore, my favorite topic, what's going to keep this movement together is that people develop that same connection with Prabhupada. I've been speaking about that. I spoke about that in New Talaman, one or two classes. And what I see nowadays is that many devotees have never read even a simple biography of Srila Prabhupada, like the Prabhupada Lilamrita. They may have seen some film about Prabhupada. They may have seen the Vyasa San, they may go to Guru Puja, but they really have to develop this deep relationship with Prabhupada by reading about, hearing about his activities, his dedication, his love for his spiritual master, because the way that we learn something in this world is not by words, but by example. Prabhupada was fond of saying, example is more important than precept. Precept, of course, means instructions. So, I learn how to be a devotee. I mean, of course I read the Bhagavad Gita and I know the verses and many verses and things like that, but really the way I learn how to be a devotee, if I am a devotee, is by seeing what it means to be a devotee by seeing or hearing or understanding Srila Prabhupada's actions. That's, to me, Srila Prabhupada's dedication to the order. One example is Srila Prabhupada's dedication to the order of his spiritual master. His spiritual master said, preach in English, preach in the Western world, whole life thinking of that order. Wow. How many of us can say that we've got an order from our spiritual master, and we're simply meditating on it our whole life? Prabhupada tried in different ways. Even Prabhupada's doing his business, pharmaceutical business, was an attempt to carry out the order of his spiritual master, to make money, to preach in the Western world. That didn't work. Prabhupada distributing magazines in the streets of Delhi, that really didn't work at all. Prabhupada finally going to the Bhagavatam, trying different strategies. ultimately getting on the boat and coming here to the Western world. Prabhupada was very much inventive, trying different strategies in order to carry out his spiritual master's mission, which he was 100% focused on. So to me, that's what it means to be a devotee. To be focused on, for all of us, the order of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, some of us may have other spiritual masters. That's wonderful. But that spiritual master, those spiritual masters we have, are connecting us to Srila Prabhupada. It's very important. Connecting us so that we can develop a deep understanding of Srila Prabhupada, so we can have that personal commitment, so we can stick to our promises, we can stick to our vows, we can be an integral part of spreading Srila Prabhupada, spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission, and ultimately saving the world. Srila Prabhupada's whole mentality was not simply to open up a few little temples, but to change the world. As Bhagavatam says, create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. That was one of Prabhupada's key phrases from the Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam, even if it's imperfectly composed, even if your preaching is not done exactly perfect linguistically or whatever, it has the potency, if we're connected to Srila Prabhupada, to change the world, create a revolution in consciousness. Not violent revolution, but a revolution in consciousness. So this is my secret, this is my focus, and in this way, everyone here can be a real sannyasi. You can be a sannyasi being married. Because you're accepting your marriage as a means to serve Krishna. That's fine. You can be a sannyasi being a temple president. Where Shraddha is? He's hiding. But if we renounce, sometimes Shraddha says, it's so difficult here, I'm going to renounce. And I said, no, that's called renunciation of the mode of passion. So, if we accept things for Krishna's service, that is sannyas. Krishna talks about that in the Gita, in the 18th chapter of the Gita. He talks about renunciation of the renounced order of life. And that's the real renounced order of life, and that I advise everybody to take up. Accept everything favorable for serving Krishna, and reject everything unfavorable. And whatever ashram you're in, just stay in your ashram, stani stata shudigatam tan van manobir, and chant Hare Krishna, and spread this movement. Distribute books, like you have the examples of these grahasthas here, who are going out and distributing so many books. Isn't it? Manasini, Drumila, Sini. I'm just joking. Drumila. So,
he's on to something. Next life.
There's no such word like that. So they're distributing so many of Srila Prabhupada's books and taking care of their family. So not everybody can go out and distribute books, but we can distribute prasadam. We can help the Sankirtan movement. We can give our energy. We can give our money. Somehow or other, we can be part of this great movement of Srila Prabhupada's. So without further ado, that's all I wanted to say. So we want to thank everybody for coming and hearing. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of prasadam, which you're all waiting for. All the children are getting anxious. Where is dinner? So, where's muffin short? So, what else? Is that it?
Thank you for the nice lecture, Maharaj.
All right, thank you very much.
Ah, and I would like to introduce some of the leaders of this temple. We'll bring them on stage. Shraddhadev Prabhu, please come forward.
Please come. He's not going to do it. He's too shy.
Ananta Gopal, Amar Krishna, Amar Gopal, Tejas Swarup,